Welcome to Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me is Matt the Minion. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, John?
Not too bad. Can't complain. So we are currently we are at the Raven Concealment Systems facility in northeastern Ohio attending the Polypalooza 2 Memorial Training Conference. But we have been nice and decided not to play a rerun because no one likes those, and we're going to have a really cool show with Kyle DeFore from DeFore Performance talking about all sorts of interesting things regarding mindset, concealed carry, and whatever else we think to talk about. Before we get started with Kyle, just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues, and since I know everyone would really rather hear what Kyle has to say versus me, I'm just going to get him right on the line. So, joining us, Mr. Kyle DeFore. Kyle, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Can't complain at all. Living the dream, you know. So for those that don't know, and I would say that most of the people that listen to the show probably have an idea of who you are. But for the first-time listeners, do you mind just going over your background, what you're able to, about it real quick, and then we'll get started?
Sure. Early mid-90s, came in the Navy, went to BUDS, became a SEAL. Served at SEAL Team 8 for about 5 years and deployed to Bosnia during that time in the mid-90s. From there, I went to a selection course, went to a development testing RDT&E command, and four deployed from Afghanistan, to Afghanistan after 9/11 from there.
Mm-hmm.
And did that for another few years. And worked as a sniper and an assaulter the whole time at both places. Started at BW at Blackwater soon thereafter, and I ran all of firearms and training there at BW for about another 5 years or so. And ended that in 09. From there, went to Tiger Swan, did a year at Tiger Swan, and some buddies of mine there that owned that place. And after that, I started my own company, kind of took the plunge, and so we're entering our fifth year. This is our fifth year of full performance shooting.
Yep.
And that's what I do now. I got a bunch of government contracts. It's most of my work is government, military, and elite.
Right.
And then I probably do a dozen civilian classes a year throughout the country.
Okay, perfect. And I keep meaning to try and make it out to one of your classes, and for whatever reason, the schedules have not worked out quite yet. But certainly on my short list of instructors that I'd like to go train with. Now, I guess we were having a conversation the other day, and something that I asked about, and I think this is probably a good place to get started. I asked you what you thought about combat accuracy, which is a term that you hear thrown around quite a bit online and at gun stores across the country, and I'd kind of like to get your take on it.
Yeah, it's like I told you. I mean, we kind of laugh at that because I don't know. I've never got, you know, what is combat accuracy? Well, here's what I think, and what I told you is I think that's an excuse that people who can't shoot fast and accurate together use.
Right.
I mean, that's just my opinion because I've never heard it used by people that I would say, you know, that guy knows what he's talking about, or that guy's, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
The way that I've seen it used, like you were talking about, like you've seen it, is like, you know, instead of taking, you know, say a 100-yard headshot with your carbine, which is roughly equivalent to a 6 or 8 inch dot,
right.
You know, they're like, a body shot's good enough. And I mean, we know, I mean, gosh, man, you look at the experience from all the guys who've served OEF and OIF. I mean, you know, a body shot at 100 yards. I mean, what if they've got, you know, what if they're 2 AK mags deep on their chest rig and that's what your bullet hit? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
So I don't like that term. I mean, you know, you got to be accurate and you got to be fast. I mean, that's the game. You know, it's a continual, it's a living, breathing cycle.
Right.
You know, by the time you work on your accuracy, you know, you do your 25-yard bulls at over the pistol, You know what I mean? He's got like a 1.7 draw or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And by the time you go up and now you got your fast stuff on, you're like, God, I can't hit a headshot at 40 yards or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, and the reason why I bring it up is because, A, it's one of my huge pet peeves. Not that I don't have a lot of them, because I do. But I've been having a lot of online conversations, which I should know better. I've been warned not to have those, but it's kind of part of my job now. And it seems to be, kind of like you said, a term that is used as an excuse or maybe even just why a certain performance level is acceptable or not acceptable when you go to the range. And I think that –
yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's what I – when I hear, like, that kind of talk, I mean, like, I think people get a misconception, like, oh, if you're saying you and the guy where you come from, y'all don't ever, you know, like, you got to understand the situations. Like, if we see a guy run behind a shed, you know what I mean? And that shed is 5 feet by 5 feet.
Right.
Of course we're going to put rounds into that shed, depending. I mean, if we a lot of guys, plenty of ammo, and depending on the situations – you know, I would consider that combat accuracy. I know he's behind there somewhere,
yep.
You know, and I know my bullets are doing something that's not good to him. But as far as like the way that we've both seen it a lot, I think it's more people don't want to put in the time on the range and they're just like, oh, this is good enough. You don't need to have a sub 1.5 draw, you know,
yeah.
Hit a, you know, 6-inch in the chest or whatever. I mean, I don't know. That's my opinion on it though.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of what I was curious to get. And the other thing it seems to – I really think that where that sort of stems from is sort of the popular belief as far as how people tend to react to being shot, which in the conversations I've had with folks and what I've seen has led me to believe is not quite as effective as Hollywood and TV would have us think.
No, I mean, I've never been shot. I've never been hit directly. I just had one of my good friends just got shot, I don't know, a couple months back. And it was funny because he didn't know he was shot and he had his sleeves rolled up.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's wearing like the normal Cry top. And, you know, he's a big dude. And it's so tight on him when he rolls his sleeves up because obviously it was hot.
Right.
And he didn't even know he was shot. And there was no blood coming out. He got shot in the arm, basically right, you know, in between the bicep and tricep in the upper arm there. And he didn't even know it. And then, like, one of the guys was like, what is that? And it was kind of like, as they described it, a soppy sponge, you know, his shirt.
Yeah.
You know, right there at his bicep. And they touched it. And then when the, you know, when the medic cut it, that's when it just, you know, it's like all poured out.
Right.
I mean, what a big deal. I mean, you know, it's $1 million wound, of course. But he didn't even know what was going on. You know what I mean? He was like...
Well, and you can watch videos of that too, where if you watch like dash cam footage or anything like that, you see people that are shooting at someone a lot of rounds and you can tell that they're doing it and it's kind of like, well, what's going on? Are they missing or anything like that? And then eventually they fall over when, you know, the spine gets hit or they run out of blood. We've got to go to break real quick, Kyle, if that's all right. And when when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about that and also some mindset and whatever else we come up with. So right now, everyone's listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. So we are having an interesting conversation with Kyle DeFore from DeFore Performance Shooting about combat accuracy and mindset and some other things that maybe people should think about if they are going to carry a handgun for self-defense or keep a gun in their home for self-defense. Just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Walther. Walther and the new PPX. So let's get Kyle back on the line. We were discussing combat accuracy in the last segment and how people oftentimes don't know they've been shot, and you just related an experience that one of your buddies had. As far as that goes and why people think that, do you think that's a breakdown in mindset almost? If we're trying to convince ourselves that if we have a really bad day, it'll go well for us, is that maybe something that we should examine, or why do you think that happens? I guess?
I think in America, it's because of the influence of media, Hollywood, you know, TV, things like that. Because in all my deployments from, you know, my 10 years in the teams, other people, foreign, you know, especially people who don't have these modern, you know, storytelling devices inside their living room, they don't act the same from what I've seen as we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
pretty interesting. I don't know. That was something I saw years ago, you know, in the mid-late 90s. And I just always thought, that's kind of weird. I wonder why. And then, you know, we'd be around talking about it. And guys are like, I wonder, they don't know what they're supposed to do when they get shot because they've never seen it on TV and they've never been told and they've never been, it's never been sensationalized and all that. But, you know, and that is mindset, right? Because they haven't been influenced by an outside source,
right?
Where as most Americans have. Now, I'll tell you, I mean, the vast majority of people I train, I mean, again, I'm very lucky with who I train, but the vast majority of those guys do not have that problem because they've thought about this, you know, and they sat down and talked about it and rationalized and they've had real world experiences, and it's not a, it's not the same for them that it would be for, I would say, guys who haven't really put the mind into thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I hate to generalize and pick on, you know, different stereotypes of people who carry a gun, but you know what I'm talking about. Maybe if a, you know, a guy who gets a security job at Home Depot or something that doesn't have really any training, you know,
yeah.
He went to like the NRA class or something like that. I mean, if he gets shot, he's probably most likely going to act different than a guy who's been fighting a 10-year war. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's mindset, you know?
So, I mean, is that just something where if people would spend a little bit more time doing research and or, for lack of a better term, visualizing?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things about, like, so I'm bad-mouthing, like, Hollywood and the media and stuff.
Well, you can do that.
I don't like it. Yeah, I mean, I don't like any, like, the technical advisors out there. I mean, I'll give you a quick sidebar. I got a chance about a year or two ago to do, like, technical advising stuff out there. But the way it is, it's like a little mafia scene, you know. There's a couple of guys who do it on almost every movie. That's why it's all weird and usually jacked up because, you know, those guys haven't seen, if any, combat. It's been a long time. And, you know, so you look at that and So I'm bad-mouthing that piece of it, right? But there's a good – with the media thing, you can use YouTube. You were talking about, like, these dash cam videos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can spend hours at night looking at LE guys getting gunfights, and you can learn a lot from it if you know how to break it down and look at it. And we do that all the time. I mean, you know, me and all my guys – and I'll tell you where I started doing that from was, you know, the FIOT guys. I mean, Tom Kyer's really good at it as far as, you know – watching the video, breaking it down. I mean, we've come up with ways to time the draws, which are pretty legit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's hard to, you know, the deal. You lose a quarter second. If I press the button of the timer when I see him move, it's generally a quarter second off. But we've come up with a way to get it pretty damn close.
Yeah.
And we can see real world draw time, and that's why, like on some of my shooting tests, the times are what they are because, you know, of hundreds and hundreds and probably almost 1,000 videos, I've only seen. You know, I've seen this time over and over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you can use media to your advantage like that, and that's what we do. And, you know, I most recently, I don't know, it's like a couple of days ago, you know, that guy up in New York, he's like standing outside of a 7-Eleven or something, right, some convenience store. Some guy just walks down the street and shoots him in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, and when people see that, I don't know, the clip's probably 20 seconds long, 25 seconds. They're like, yeah, you know, that's what happened. But, I mean, you break it down. And everybody's probably Googling it right now. Like, what's he talking about? It's pretty easy to find. It's on the news. But if you break it down, you see that guy is walking with intent.
Yeah.
You know, the bad guy. He's totally walking with intent. Hands are in his pockets, and he's wearing sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of weird, right?
Right.
You know, just stuff like that. I mean, you can pick up a lot of stuff like that.
Well, and there's guys like Craig Douglas and William April that do some really interesting coursework on – the grooming cues, like you said, that people use when they're about to initiate a violent attack like that. And it's like you said, there's something that can be learned from even a 10-second clip, because, you know, I like learning from other people's mistakes. It's better than learning from my mistakes, especially playing that game. So,
And that kind of bleeds into a little bit of, you know, concealed carry. You know what I'm saying? Like guys, I see it all the time, and what I teach in the military, you know, I don't use the word concealed carry with the military guys.
Right.
You know, I use the word low vis. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference. And just like we can spot bad guys' intent sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, you know, other people can spot your intent as well, depending on, you know, how you're doing your stuff, you know?
Right. Right. When it's, you know, and this, obviously, part of the show, we talk about minutia and things that maybe are beyond people that are getting started with stuff. But I think it's a really intriguing thing to consider, and especially to get people understanding that there's a lot more to this than just, okay, put a gun on in the morning, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the Green Lantern's ring. You know what I mean? Your pistol doesn't have some force field around it. You know what I mean? It's a tool just like anything else, man. I mean, like a hammer or a screwdriver, you can use them incorrectly and they're not going to work very well. I mean,
for whatever reason, this, and I don't know, maybe if I had played more sports growing up and I missed this somewhere, but it seems like in our industry in particular, there is a focus on tools solving your problems versus you solving your problems with the tools that you have. And what I mean by that is you see all these conversations that are like, you know, what handgun, what shotgun, what rifle, what's best for this situation?
And what's interesting about that is, you know, because, I mean, I'm, you know, this is my life. I mean, it's what I do. It's interesting because, you know, guys they'll deck an M4 out, right, with every known accessory on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using an EOTech or an Aimpoint or whatever the hell they're using. And it's like they shoot an eval, just a test on a square range with paper, like one of my carbine drills or something.
Right.
And it's like, hey, dude, this is what you scored. Now let's do this. Let's take this off. Let's do that. Now let's shoot it with iron sights. And I'm doing that because I know you have an astigmatism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he shoots it, and he shoots better with iron sights.
Right.
And you're like, but they don't. They're like, man, but my gear, you know, I gotta have my micro T1. I'm like, yeah, but you shot 20% better without it.
Right.
And here's the reason why, you know, you know, I think guys put too much credence as well. Not, you know, this kind of bleeds together, right? So they put credence on gear, right? They're like, it's the gear they get to get. The gear doesn't matter about anything. And I think they also put a little too much emphasis on who said what.
Right.
And I know it sounds like I'm trying to talk myself out of business, but you know what I mean? Like, they're like, well, this guy is a former whatever, and he said this. And it's like, hey, dude, I know a high school kid from Southern California that comes to all my classes, and he can outshoot you.
Yep.
So, and by the way, he's been in some street fights, you know, no shootings, but he's been hit.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on. You need to probably emulate that guy. Watch that dude, you know, instead of putting another red dot on your pistol, you know?
When it seems like, too, that, and I resemble that remark just because I put a red dot on my pistol just recently, but
You're gonna be faster, more accurate without it, but you know that already.
Yeah, I do. I'm playing around with it, and just once again, I like to have firsthand experience with things that people talk about, as opposed to just repeating what other people have said. Which actually, it's funny this comes up because this comes into play too. It seems like a lot of people are more than willing to just take things at face value without doing their own research or questioning anything.
Yeah, here's a good one on that is, you know, the hog hunting. I've done the hog hunts for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I took a guy with me, and, you know, you get down there in Florida in the Palmettos, they're knee to hip high, you know. And some of these hogs, you know, they got cutters on them, and they're not happy, you know, especially if you happen to shoot one and wound it. And
right.
It's funny to watch everybody because, you know, I'll tell them, I'm like, hey, go onto the website and look at these professional hunters in Africa. Look at how their guns are.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give them a name of a dude like Ivan Carter or somebody like that. And they come down there and they've got a 10 power scope or whatever, an EOTech and a magnifier. And it's funny, I've actually got a picture of this after the first
I'm sorry, Kyle, let me interrupt you real quick just because we have to go to break. But hold that thought. And when we get back, we'll hear more about this. Right now, talking with Kyle DeFord for Performance Shooting, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms parts and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Bear, Sig Sauer, and many more, as well as premium AR pattern rifles. Whether you're looking to protect yourself, are a first-time gun buyer, or a competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. So, we are talking with Kyle DeFore from DeFore Performance Shooting, and he was actually telling us something before I interrupted him rudely.
Thanks for having me again.
No, dude. someone like you thanking me is always funny to me because I'm always incredibly pleased that people of your caliber even feel the need to talk to me, let alone come on my show. So thank you.
No worries.
So you were telling a story about hunters in Africa, and then I interrupted you. If you could continue that.
Oh, yeah. So here's what ended up happening is we get in there, and I'm using a Shorty M4 with iron sights on the big aperture. And, you know, when you're in these – you know, you're in an open field for a little bit. Then you're in the, it's kind of, even in broad daylight, now it's dark. You're in the woods, you know, and it's just changing light. And I had enough experience to know that, hey, you know, I'm rolling with iron. And it was funny because after a while, all on the back of my truck, all these scopes and EOTechs and aim points are QD released and put back there. And I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? They're like, dude, I don't want that thing on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why not? And they're like, well, that, I got to be able to get the shot off quick because, you know, if they start running at us, and I'm like, yeah, but now think about what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
All he's got is a couple of tusks at best.
Yep.
You know, and you're not, that's not even a dude with another gun. And it was pretty interesting because some of those guys were really, you know, because when they're in the overhead of the trees, you know, they're dialing the EOTech down. Then they walk out in the field and it's noon or 1 o'clock, they're dialing the power back up. And then the guys with fixed scopes or variable power scopes, they can't see the reticle, you know, and it's like, you know, just kind of an interesting take on it. And that's why, you know, I still do a lot of hunting stuff. You know, I'm very lucky to be on the, you know, with First Light on their hunting team. And I tell you, man, you can learn and talk about, you know, you were talking about the guys being able to profile bad dudes and their body language and their movement. You know, we get all that from the animal kingdom. I mean, you can see it all on various animals you can hunt right here in North America.
Well,
and
it's funny you mentioned that too, because I think that one of the big, you know, things that people miss out on is that there is a different tool for different situations, and there's not ever a one catch all answer, at least in my experience, for what that's worth. You know,
absolutely.
You're talking stuff about, like, you know, the EOTechs and the aim points. You know, I have an aim point T1 on almost every, and I'll do rabbit ears around it when I say it, serious use carbine that I own. But it's like you said, you have to understand what the limitations are to the platform or whatever tool it is you're trying to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I just scored an old Comp M2 actually the other day. Can't wait to get that thing mounted.
I saw that actually. And for those that don't know, the Comp M2 is probably the, what is that? The M68,
Yeah, it was the first red dot we got that was actually worth the crap. We had the Aimpoint 3000 and 5000 before that,
right?
And they would, you know, they were sketch, dude. But that came out in like 99 or so, and I just like it because nostalgia. I mean, I went through selection with it, you know, and
right.
I like that. So yeah. I picked one up.
And it's funny too because the I want to say the Aimpoint Pros, the patrol rifle optic, is almost a direct copy of the M2. With just a few upgraded things or whatever. So I know that we just kind of, I don't know that we trashed Red Dots, but we pointed out one of their flaws. But if you're looking for a good one and can't find a used M2, the Pro's not bad. What do you think, man, as far as how do we get people to stop being so concrete in their thinking and acknowledge or at least start to investigate different approaches to things, or at least starting to understand why there are different approaches to things?
I would say, you know, in the shooting training industry, the biggest thing is drop the ego. You know, get rid of your ego, man. I mean, because there's just, there are so many, you know, when people have, you know, they're like, well, I'm doing this because I'm from here,
mm-hmm.
or this guy told me to do it. And it's like, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the best way to do things, you know? And just like I was talking about with that guy, I knew that dude had astigmatism, right?
Right.
And you know how to deal with red dots with astigmatism. If you're trying to do an accuracy shot, you know, that red dot might look like a football or two dots or whatever. And, you know, I just know from my experience, guys are going to be more accurate in iron sights.
Let me interrupt just real quick, and I'm curious if you've tried it or not, because my eyes are terrible, and I get the bloom pretty regularly. The thing that I've found that helps, and one of the reasons why I've been able to stick with red dots, is actually if I have a flip-up rear and run the wide aperture on it, and actually I'm looking at the dot through the rear sight, it clears it up.
Yeah, because what you're doing is a poor man's way to correct your you know, your cornea's imperfection.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's and like if a guy, like that's a good example, right? So if I saw you on the range doing that, I'd be like, and I didn't know you from Adam, I'd be like, hey, idiot, put your rear sight down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
A red dot's made for speed and accuracy, and you're screwing it up because you're trying to align the iron sight and the red dot, and that's not what it's made for. But then you're like, hey, well, this is why I do it.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, and you're like, oh, by the way, I've repped this like 1,000 times, and I can hit it every single time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great example, right? Now, of course, I honestly would say, hey, idiot, what are you doing? I'd be like, hey, dude, why are you doing that?
Right.
And that, you know, that's what you learn with experience over time is you're like, ah, this guy, he looks pretty good. He's doing, you know, his stance is good. He shoots well. He manipulates the gun well. There has got to be a reason he's running that rear sight up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a good one. While I'm thinking about it, here's another thing you can do, and everybody else that's listening. If you have that problem with red dots, right,
mm-hmm.
where they're blooming or you see two dots or it looks like a vertical line or whatever, another thing you can do is when your cheek is on the buttstock is press your face down. And I'm talking about toward the bottom, you know, the bottom of the buffer tube. Press your cheek really hard into the buttstock. And what it'll do is, you know, you'll push your eye lower,
mm-hmm.
and as the red dot, you know, comes into contact with the bottom body of the actual device of the red dot, it'll make that dot, it'll clean that dot up, similar to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a way to do it if you happen to, you know, whatever, you don't have iron sights on there, or you don't like that technique or whatever. Pretty interesting.
Well, and it's funny just because, and this is kind of what we're talking about. There's multiple approaches to solving whatever problem it is that you happen to be dealing with.
Don't think that – here's the deal. Don't ever think that if you – when you start to think your way is the best way, then you're probably wrong.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like if you're like, I do the best CQB of anybody in the world, it's like, well, okay, but you know what? I can give you the name of a couple of groups that they don't do it the way you do. And by the way, they kill people all the time.
Right.
And they're pretty good at it. You know, because it just drop the ego. That's the answer to that one, man. I mean, everybody, I mean, to an extent, I mean, if something's unsafe, if it's really sketchy, if it makes, you know, we use logical order of thought, you know, LOT thinking. I mean, if it makes no logical sense, then, you know, there's probably a better way to do it. But, I mean, I've learned tons of stuff like that, you know, just different ways to do things.
And I think that's just almost part of being in the industry and actually keeping your ears open, as opposed, like you said. I mean, and you're one of the most humble dudes that I know.
Oh, thanks, man.
Well, you know, it's the truth. But as far as like actually paying attention to what other people are doing and giving it a shot, as opposed to just saying, well, you know, I'm who I am and this is how I do it, and I'm right and you're wrong. It's, you know, and
yeah.
we're covering the same ground over and over again here at this point. But on that same vein, as far as, you know, you suggested at the beginning of the segment, take an ego out of it. And would you say accepting failure, being comfortable with the knowledge that you are going to fail when you are learning things is also important?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd word it like that. Well, I don't know that I'd word it as in failure. I would word it as in learning.
Right.
Because to me, the way, and this is getting into kind of more of how I teach it, you know, when I'm learning something, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm learning the draw, it's not perfect. But when I show you my draw, you know what I mean? I'm not learning it anymore. It's a decent one, you know? So I wouldn't use the word failure, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. When you try new techniques, I mean, it's going to take time, and you're going to have the learning curve, which, you know, yeah, you could describe it as failure. The thing that's important about that is people need to realize that, you know, student A may learn faster and fail less than student B.
Right.
And that's like, that's where people like me, for what I do for a living, I have to be able to ID that pretty damn quick in a class, right? I got to be like, this dude does not understand parallel deviation of sights.
Mm-hmm.
This guy right here is shooting a 90 or a 95 every time at 25 yards. I'm not going to talk to that dude much anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
At that point, it's going to be like, hey, bro, quit shooting wolf ammo. Get something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get something good. You know what I mean? Like, but the other guy, it's like, hey, he needs time on that. But yeah, people need to be comfortable. You know, once they get rid of the ego, they need to be comfortable going, hey, this is going to take some time, and I need to, you know, I need to accept the fact it's going to take time. But that goes against our society right now. You know, everybody wants instantaneous gratification.
Let me interrupt just again real quick because we got to go to break. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. So this segment is brought to you by the Polypalooza 2 Memorial Training Conference, and I would tell you all about it, but if you're listening to this right now, you're missing it. But I'm sure Matt and I are having a lot of fun up there, and hopefully you will make it to next year's conference. And I will give you all more details about that as they become available. So right now we're talking with Kyle DeFore from DeFore Performance Shooting. So we were talking about the speed at which people learn. And I use the word failure just because I'm more than willing to admit what I do sometimes in front of people, or especially on camera, can really only be called failure. But everybody else that is probably much more skilled than I am, it's learning. So
we have that instant gratification going on, right? A lot. Not everybody, but I mean America as a whole is, and that's where you'll see the, well, I'm gonna buy this new optic, and I'm gonna buy this new sling, and I'm gonna buy this new holster. And it's like, hey, it's like what I said, I think on last show, is that, you know, your new holster's not gonna take the 0.30 off your draw,
right?
you gotta burn good reps, you gotta put the time in, you know. So
right.
Yeah, all that. It's just pretty interesting how all that connects together.
And you were saying burning the reps, and as far as chasing new gear, which I think is something interesting. I mean, as a member of the industry, new gear is kind of something that I need to pay attention to for what my job is. But for me, it's always just been about finding something I like so I don't have to look for it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know the deal. So we got I'm the same way, and if people that follow my stuff have probably noticed, I've definitely changed who I associate with gear-wise now.
Yeah.
Just because I started seeing trends where I didn't like what the companies were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they were taking advantage of the customers through me.
Right.
And, I think you have you have different groups of people, right? I am the same way. It's like, hey, I need a jacket that I can travel with on multiple airplanes, and it will keep me warm when I'm on the range in the winter. And I want the smallest, lightest synthetic down jacket that can get wet, you know. And once I find it, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and then when Company X comes out with a new one, in 2 months. By the time you do the research to go, like, well, I think I'm going to go buy this one, and you just wasted time you could have been training, and you just wasted money that you could have been spent on bullets or range fees or whatever.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? And like that, and I used to get really violent at that. I'd be like, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. You know what I
yeah.
mean? I'd be like, but now I've realized that, and that was not the right way to act, by the way.
Yeah.
I've realized that it's okay. There are people in the industry that's their deal, man. They
yep.
want to, all they want to do is buy gear, and okay, that's fine. I mean, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can have the same, outlook as me, and I realize that, and I don't care. I mean, that's cool. It just took me a long time to realize that, but the other guys, yeah, we find something that works. Let's roll with it. I mean, until something's drastically better. Which basically means either stronger, lighter, or faster.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not gonna change.
Well, and I think that brings to mind an interesting point. And once again, I'm not going to single anybody out just because that's not what I do. But we were talking at the beginning about, I do it because this dude does it, or I buy it because this dude, this is what he runs. Now, I think that a lot of times that's the wrong way to go. It's very rare to me that I see one of the celebrity dudes has a situation that is applicable to the people that are maybe buying their stuff. And I certainly run into that now too, because for some reason people listen to what I say. I mean, is there a certain point though that where do you draw that line between, okay, I'm doing what this dude does because this dude does it, or, well, hey, I'm taking good advice?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think you got to – here's what you got to do. You got to look at that individual. And here's – there's a lot of guys – I don't want to say like me. They're not like me. But there's a lot of guys in this industry that have inflated things. And maybe they haven't exactly lied.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they just didn't correct the truth when other people started saying stuff about them.
Right.
You need to look at that. You need to go, hey, where is he getting his opinion from?
Right.
Is it because this company pays him money?
Mm-hmm.
Or does that company pay him money because they like his opinion because he's got the experience to back it up?
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to look at all that. I kind of relate it to motorcycles. I mean, I ride, motorcycles a lot. And it's like, hey, I want to buy this piece that's going to stabilize my engine in hard turns. It's going to be,
right.
Do I listen to these guys or do I listen to these guys? When I started looking at it, I'm like, hey, this group over here, they ride these things. Like, they're not, this, they should not be able to be ridden this way.
Right.
So that's who I'm going with right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would do the same thing for guys in this industry. I mean, and I make it, I make it a point to try not to lead people down the wrong path. If I don't know, if it's like, hey, man, which down jacket's the best, I'd be like, look, dude, it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Hardwear, Patagonia, Arc'teryx, North Face, one of the four's fine. So whichever one you want to buy, what color do you want,
Right.
But if it's like, hey, dude, I'm going to be in the rainforest for whatever, and I need to be dry, this is the one you need or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, you got to do your research on the people that are saying it.
I mean, and that's once again, I guess the point of the show seems to be do your research. It's so difficult to find where to do the research though if you're not familiar with it, which seems to be the hard part.
Beware of infotrainment.
Yes.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Infotrainment. I didn't make that word up. I heard it, and I thought it was hilarious.
What do you got going on, man? What are you doing these days? What do you got coming up?
Some cool stuff I got coming up is I am going to build an M4 from scratch, and I mean the entire thing. I'm not talking about assembling an upper and a lower. I'm going to go up to the BCM factory. Paul Buffani's going to walk me through there with the guys who have built all my guns over the years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to build a gun. Obviously, I don't know really what I'm doing when it comes to some aspects of that. So they're going to walk me through. I'm going to build a gun. I'm going to shoot that gun for a while in a class up there and possibly a couple more classes. But I'm going to put some time into it. That gun will have my DNA on it, for a while. And then we're going to auction that gun off for charity. And it's going to go to the Elder Heart Foundation, which is Tom Spooner's 501c3 that helps guys with PTSD
right.
and TBI. So that's kind of cool. I don't think anybody's ever done that before, so that'll kind of be a first. And I think we're going to get some good money out of it, because not only will I be shooting it, but there'll be some other people that'll be shooting it that will be you'll want to own that gun.
Right.
Put it like that.
Well, dude, if I can raise $6,000 with a Salient that I put 25,000 rounds through, I cannot imagine what you guys will do with people that are actually important. So that's when is that going to happen?
I'm going to head up to Wisconsin in September. I'll head up there the week of September 11th, build the gun. I'll do the first class up there. I think it's the weekend of September 11th. I believe it's the 12th and 13th, or 13th, 14th, one or two. And then I'll probably shoot a couple more classes with it, just to get some patina on it, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep a lot of the targets that I shoot, so people can see that, you know, the gun will actually shoot good. And it'll be kind of cool. And then, you know, I'm looking forward to that. Next year we're going to have some big changes. We experienced a lot of growth in the past 18 months with my company, so we're going to change the website a little bit. The classes will change a little bit as well. More on that later, but it's going to be all for the better. There's just going to be all kinds of good stuff going on. You know, and that's about it. I mean, biggest thing today, if everybody's listening, you know, I know we're recording this a little bit early, but today's the third anniversary of Extortion 17 going down. So, you know, raise a beer for my brothers. A couple of my best friends were on that bird. So we're going to be celebrating that a little bit tonight.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate you coming on, dude. Very, very much. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me again, man. That's awesome.
Hey, no problem. I'll talk to you later, dude. So,
all right.
All righty. Next week, I don't know what we're doing yet, but I'm sure it'll be awesome. is it? I probably shouldn't say that. Anyway, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next week.